Welcome to the Dr. Diane Show, where we explore revolutionary expansion of mind, body, and soul with me, Dr. Diane Hayden. With over 20 years of expertise as a mindset warrior, perspective shifter, and unshakable optimist, I am dedicated to helping you reach your wildest dreams in business, health, performance, and relationships. Learn about the power of thought and how it shapes your life to take risks, change careers, find love, go on adventures, and live passionately with me, Dr. Diane. Get ready for revolutionary ways of thinking, being, and creating an amazing life. The Dr. Diane Show starts now. Hello, everyone. I am Dr. Diane Hayden, and you are listening to the Dr. Diane Show on Transformation Talk Radio. Stay with us for the next hour, where we will explore revolutionary expansion of mind, body, and soul. Each time on the Dr. Diane Show, we have experts from around the country discussing cutting-edge topics on longevity medicine, natural health, mindset, spirituality, and soul purpose to help you shift your perspective and become a mindset warrior like me. I'm excited today to have with me Beverly Blass. She is a modern Renaissance woman with a multidimensional background in healing. Beverly is an integrative, intuitive, and spiritual healer offering soul-centered hypnotherapy, body-centered psychotherapy, colon hydrotherapy, life coaching, and more. She's also on the faculty at Hartford Family Institute in Connecticut. Beverly focuses on her clients' whole body experience using spiritual, physical, mental, emotional, and energetic healing, working with you to create an all-encompassing tapestry of transformation. And you can learn more about her at www.beverlyblass.com. That's BeverlyBlass.com. So welcome, Beverly. How are you today?
I'm great. Thank you. That was a really nice introduction. Thank you.
Oh, of course. Of course. So I'm excited to learn more about you, as I'm sure our listeners are. And I normally like to start these shows by just finding out a little bit more about your journey. You know, where did you come from? And kind of what brought you to doing what you do as, you know, an intuitive and a spiritual healer. And then obviously we'll talk more about what you do specifically, but tell us a little bit about that journey.
Well, to start with, I'm Scottish. I grew up in Glasgow, outside of Glasgow, in the country, more or less. And I was very grateful because I was free to, in those days, you could go out and play and you're free to roam. And I was very connected to nature from a very young age and could see things and have experiences that weren't your everyday occurrences, is what I found out later. I had a neighbor whose name was Mr. Dryden. And he was an avid gardener, and the weather was perfect for roses and sweet peas in Scotland. And he would tell me at a very young age to go sit under the sweet peas and be very quiet. And if I was, the fairies would come.
That's awesome.
And
did they?
Yes, they did. Okay. But I thought that everybody saw that.
Right, exactly. Yes. As a kid, yeah.
Yes, but he saw them. So he shared that experience with me, and it was magical. And I've had experiences that throughout my whole life. I'll tell you one that was very interesting in New York City about fairy. But that, you know, led me to believe that I was a little different. You know, I could see with other children that they didn't see what I saw later on. So that started me off on a different pathway. So when I look back at that, I can already see that something was different and that right. I was not about to go down a regular path.
Yeah. And, did your parents encourage that? Because I feel like a lot of children will see things and then it kind of gets squashed by their family or, you know, the mindset that the family has.
Yes. Well, yes, that did happen. And so I was very careful as I got older to just keep these things to myself, especially when I saw other things that weren't fairy. You know, there's a balance between light and dark. Mm-hmm. And I experienced both. And I had no idea at that time what was happening or even what it was. And nobody could explain it to me. What they ended up telling me was that I was dreaming. But I was in the daytime. Do you know
Right,
what I
like
mean?
a while you're awake, you know you're awake.
Right. So it was very frustrating as a child to go through these things and not get connection for it. So that was the beginning. And later on, as I grew up, we traveled all over Europe every summer. And that was a very freeing experience in terms of seeing different worlds. And when I was about 17, 18, we actually went to Israel. And I met someone there. And over the next couple of years, we kind of went back and forth, Scotland. He was from the United States. And that's how I ended up in America. But it was a real culture shock at first. I mean, we speak the same language, but it's a very different kind of, especially in New England, where I came to first,
Right. I was going to say, did you come to New York or Connecticut or?
I started off actually in Massachusetts, and then we ended up in New York. But that was, even New York was friendly. It was open. I felt, familiarity there, whereas in Massachusetts, where I was at first, it was like a whole different planet.
Yeah.
Whole different planet.
Us New Englanders are tough.
Yes, you are. Because, it's like if they don't know you for a long time, it's very hard to
Don't
make.
trust you.
No, they don't. And I had that experience, but I did go to college to BayPath. And that was a wonderful experience.
So how'd
And
you get
then,
involved in alternative health? Like I'm thinking, okay, you know you have this gift, let's say, and you know you're a little bit different. You come to the US, you go to college. And at what point did you start to go down the path now of actually knowing you were going to be this type of practitioner?
Well, I didn't accept through my own healing. What happened to me was I wasn't well, and I was diagnosed with an autoimmune disease. And actually, my brother growing up also had an autoimmune. And I saw what was happening to him in the medical side of things. And so when they told me this, I was like, no, I don't think I want to do that. And they said there was nothing else. And I thought, there has to be. I didn't know what there was. I was in my early 20s. And I ended up in New York doing some research. And I found a doctor there on 42nd Street, up in a tower. So it was a little scary. But he was from Europe, a naturopathic doctor. And he was 92 and went to work every day.
Oh my gosh, wow.
And we sat down and he talked to me and he said, I don't really care what you've got. Just do what I tell you. So he told me to throw everything out, all the food I was eating, and to go buy a juicer. And that I had to come to his office every week and do colon hydrotherapy, hot and cold treatments for the liver, and heat treatments for mas and massage. Now I was in my early 20s, and I just looked at him and said, I'm just a kid. I don't have the money to come to you every week. And he said, I'm 92. I don't need your money. Just show up.
Wow.
And that was the beginning of my healing for me. And I did what he told me. I juiced and he wouldn't let me have grains. Like this was back in 1980, 81. Nobody was talking about this back then.
Exactly.
And there
Yeah.
wasn't even the choices that you have today. But
Yeah.
I felt committed. I felt like, he's strong. He goes to work every day. He's, vibrant. He's got a full head of hair. He's doesn't miss a beat. So I thought, okay,
You must be doing something right.
he must be. And so I
Yeah.
did that for quite a long time, but all my symptoms started to go away.
Yeah.
And I thought, after a while, if it helped me, it's got to help other people. How do I do this? And
Yeah.
that was my first path in New York City, where we had moved to decide to go to, massage school, get trained in colon hydrotherapy. And I also went to study with Arcis Flynn, who was a Dominican nun, an ex-Dominican nun, who had a little herbology school down on East 6th Street behind her apothecary called the Meadow Sweet Herbal Apothecary. So I immersed myself in everything I could learn about how to help people.
So you've mentioned colon hydrotherapy a couple times, and that's one of the modalities that you do. But let's explain that, because I know people have probably heard the term, or maybe some listeners have never even heard of colon hydrotherapy.
They may
So
not have.
they know what the colon is, I think, and they could
Yes.
probably put two and two together. But I think
It's
there's a
your,
lot of misinformation about it. So
yes.
yeah, just explain what exactly is it, and then we'll get into more.
Yes, it's a cleansing of the large intestine, which is called your colon. You have about 5 feet in there, all looped up. So, when you're born, it looks a certain way, but as we grow, as the foods we eat, it changes. And, a lot of processed food came into the world, in the 50s, 60s, and it really changed how your digestion functioned. And I think a lot of what happened to me was I was allergic to gluten, wheat, dairy, and they didn't know that back then. So if you go down that road, things start to happen. And what a colonic does is it's very gentle. It's just filtered water going into your colon and back out. So it's hydrating your colon. But as it does that, you're eliminating waste with the water and you're lowering the toxic level in your body very quickly.
So this might seem a naive question to you, but I'm going to ask it
Yeah.
because, like, things pop into my head. I'm like, I bet someone's thinking this. What's
Yes.
the difference between that and an enema?
Okay. An enema, you're using a little bit of water. You
Yep.
put it in, you hold it, and then you go to the bathroom.
Okay.
With this, it's a continuous flow of water. So it's gently going up into your colon. So it's the difference between, that bag and maybe, 20 gallons of water. But it's again, it's going in and coming out, going in and coming out. So it's a very gentle flow. And right from the beginning, I felt very, it was very important to be very connected to the client in that kind of situation. It's a very personal, intimate connection. And I felt that it was very important to build trust and safety in that kind of experience. And people feel very different afterwards because you're giving your body the ability to rejuvenate itself. And it takes a few colonics usually to clean out your colon. But once you've done that and you change some other things, it's really helping you empower yourself to take care of yourself so that you can really start to function in the way your body was meant to. So it also is eliminating certain foods that you may be sensitive to. And I'm always very focused on getting people to eat more fiber and greens and,
Right. Yeah, diet's got to be huge. A diet's
yes,
got to be
it
huge.
goes
Yep.
together. It's
So,
it's not the cure, it's a tool
right.
to
Exactly.
help you. It's a support system.
Well, we've got to take a short break. This has been fascinating. We're going to get into a lot more with you. And you're listening to the Dr. Diane Show with me, Dr. Diane Hayden. When we come back, we'll be talking more with Beverly Blass. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. We're back in the Dr. Diane Show with me, Dr. Diane Hayden. Before we continue, I want to make sure everyone knows how to contact me. You can find me at www.drdianehayden.com or at either of my two publications, www.naturalnutmeg.com and www.essentialnaples.com. And you can learn more about Beverly Blass at www.beverlyblass.com, and that's spelled BEVERLEY. BLASS.com. So just before we took our first break, we were talking just a little bit about, you were explaining to us what colon hydrotherapy is, what someone can expect,
Yes.
for the
Yeah.
procedure. And I'm curious, like, how do you get trained to do that? What's the training entail?
Well, there is certification training. I'm and have been on the board for the International Association for Colon Hydrotherapy for many years. I've been a past president. And what we do is we try to regulate colon hydrotherapy across the board and create the curriculum that students have to train in order to become a colon hydrotherapist. So it's really state by state how this is working. And in the state of Connecticut, unbeknownst to us some years back, the medical society had passed a ruling that only doctors could practice colon hydrotherapy. And we really had to gather together and get a lobbyist and a lawyer and, fight
Yeah.
for us to be able to continue to work. And so, understanding that, they gave us the certification for what's called IACT. So in Connecticut, if you have that certification plus other states now, you can practice. So it's slowly becoming a much more looked on as a profession.
Right.
And it's so close to my heart in terms of what it can do. And all over the world, there's colonics going on every single day.
Yeah.
And it's very low risk. Our insurance is very low for malpractice because
Right.
we know it's really very, very safe.
So you mentioned you were introduced to it because you had autoimmune disease. And I'm glad you brought up the whole thing with gluten because I think we're learning more and more now that that is a major, if not cause of autoimmune disease. It's certainly going to affect it in a negative way. If you have an autoimmune disease, you should definitely, not be eating gluten because, all the processing that they do to it in this country, it might still be okay in some European countries, but definitely not in America,
Right.
unfortunately. But
Unfortunately.
what other types of health issues do you find people come to you for colon hydrotherapy? I mean, I know it's probably anyone could do it, obviously. It's
Right.
great for just a
Yeah.
cleanse for anyone who's
Well,
looking for that, but
yes. I mean, there's contraindications to this. Not everyone can
okay.
do. If you have a heart condition, if you have kidney disease, if you have any itis going on in your digestive system, you're not having a colonic. You really need to work with nutrition and, other layers to see what's going on there. And so not everyone is a candidate, but if you're looking to, for prevention, the what's sold in this country in terms of laxatives is billions of dollars, billions. So that tells you something.
Yep.
In terms of what's going on in people's digestive systems.
Everybody's constipated.
Right.
Yeah.
Everybody, and nobody talks about it.
I know.
But it's one of the things that can really lower your energy. You feel sluggish. You feel like everything is much harder to do. And there are ways to really solve that situation, especially with the support of colon hydrotherapy. And
Right.
there's, it's everybody imagines what must that be like? And it's really like you and I are having this conversation, and there's colon hydrotherapy going on at the same time. So it's very gentle. And most people will say, "Is this it?"
Right. Is
And
it happening right
yeah, and it's because it's that gentle and that comfortable for most people.
Yeah, I think it's like acupuncture. A lot of people are afraid, to try acupuncture. And if you've ever, had it done,
Yes,
it's like you can
right.
barely feel the or not even feel the
Exactly.
needles at all sometimes. But it's
Right.
just that the idea of
It's the
like,
idea.
somebody
Yes.
sticking you with that. And
Of
I think
course.
this might be similar to people are like a little hesitant, like, what's really going to happen?
Right. Exactly.
So
And
it's
that's
good.
why
Yeah.
you build, you really try to, it's about building trust and
Right.
really allowing a person to really sit with them to understand what the process is like.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm glad we're having the discussion for sure.
Yeah.
But that's not all you do.
You
You have a lot of other modalities that I want to make sure we get to. So tell us more about your journey as an intuitive therapist.
Well, that's again going back to my childhood and seeing things in on a different perspective. So that happens in my work, and I learned how to use that. But what really was the motivating factor was when I opened up a center in New York City, and part of it was the colon hydrotherapy. People would come in, and it wasn't about that. There was so much more going on underneath, emotionally, spiritually, lack of connection, understanding, loneliness. And I thought, gee, I really want to help these people, but I'm not sure what direction to go in. And of course, divine intervention. I met the founder of Hartford Family Institute, Stuart Alpert. And to me, that connected straight away because with body-centered psychotherapy, you're not just talking from the head up, you're including every cell in your body that has memory, has meaning, has consciousness, has awareness. So I decided to train and go through that whole process at the Institute. And that was many years. It wasn't an overnight situation, but I was slowly incorporating it into my work. And, I'd opened up, we had moved to Connecticut. I was going back and forth to both centers for a long time, but I went into private practice. And now I also am on the faculty. As you said before, I help train therapists, but it's in a more meaningful way. Body-centered psychotherapy, we also use Native American imagery. We use guided imagery. We use gestalt therapy. Alexander Lowen's work on body structure. So you're incorporating, and we also use your connection to spirit because we're more like you understand in terms of we're not just one thing. We're a body, a heart, a mind, a soul, and a spirit. And so that work laid a huge foundation for me in once you've really moved the toxins out of your body, now what? What's really going on in there? And so it's an exploration for people to really understand themselves in a more meaningful way, in a
Well, I love the
deeper way.
term body-centered psychotherapy because I feel like, my belief, and I'm sure the belief of a lot of listeners, and obviously yours, is that, disease starts in your energy field, really. And that has to do with, what kinds of emotions are you having and what kinds of relationships are you having and what kinds of things is your brain saying to you and all this stuff that, that is so much more than just, you're, okay, this one issue that I'm having. That issue probably started because of the looking at, look at the whole picture, not just, okay, let's just try to fix this one issue. So it makes total sense when you say people were coming to you for colonics, but then you talk to them and it's more like,
It's a
oh,
lot more.
right, there's all this other stuff that gets unpacked.
And it's really helpful for people to know themselves in a way where, our medical Western philosophy is let's just fix this thing, this symptom, and give you a pill. But it's not really taking care of a much deeper layer that's going on inside of you. And to be honest, most of the people that come into my office, no matter what it's for, it's the child in them that's coming into the office. It's not really the adult. And so it's integrating how to integrate what happened in your childhood that may be blocking you from living your full potential in your adulthood. And where are those blocks in terms of, understanding? You talked about the energy field that we have, we are a ball of energy, and we have energy that goes through our whole system called the chakras. And they're affected by what happens to us. So it's working with the energy of each layer in terms of your root chakra that goes all the way up to above your head. So you have three lower ones and three above, and your heart is the bridge between both. So that's what's really disconnected, is your heart. So the work too is, how do you bond with a child that's really been ignored in a lot of ways? Because we think we do, a lot of us don't even recognize that that child still lives in us. And how to connect with that child and your heart. And that opens up a real expansion in your consciousness and your awareness of how you're living inside yourself.
Right. Yeah. And I think it's also important for people to understand or know that, you know, it doesn't mean that you had necessarily even had to have something really super traumatic happen to you.
Oh, no.
It
No.
could just be the way that you were raised in a family.
Absolutely. And where you were in your family. And how that affected you. And you know, it's with, you're so right about, it doesn't have to be extreme trauma. It can be, you know, we hear all good things, and then that one thing that was said has impact, you know, and then we start to believe that one thing. So it's our belief systems that really, you know, are ruling our life in terms of what we think, how we behave, who we are. So it's really unraveling so you can start over of who you were truly meant to be when you were little.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
that's
it's
the
fast
work.
it's fascinating to me. I've done a lot of work around it recently, actually, interestingly enough. And just obviously with a lot of practitioners that, you know, I work with through my two magazines, but
Yes.
it's very fascinating. And that to think that something, you know, something that could have happened 20, 30 years ago can be energy that's still stuck that needs to be processed some way. So I want to talk more about this. We have to take a quick break.
Sure.
When we come back, we'll be talking more with Beverly Blass, colon hydrotherapist and an intuitive therapist. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. We're back on the Dr. Diane Show with me, Dr. Diane Hayden, and I'm talking today with Beverly Blass. You can learn more about her at www.beverlyblass.com. That's BEVERLEYBLASS.com. And before our last break, we were talking about just how energy can get stuck in the body from a very young age, something that happened to you when you were a child, and you know, whatever it was, it doesn't even have to be a really big traumatic event. It could be just something simple that maybe a parent said to you, or a teacher, or even a sibling or a friend or whatever. And it just, you know, impacted you in a way that you kind of never got over, but you forget about it. I mean, there's things that, it's funny because I've done, you know, in a lot of work with therapists, there's things that have come up that I thought, oh my gosh, like, how did I forget about that? And now I just remember like the situation, like a discussion with a parent or something like that, or something happened on the playground or whatnot, where I was kind of bullied. And it's like, you kind of pack that stuff away.
Sure.
And you don't realize that that can, you know, if you don't at some point deal with moving that energy, I believe it can, that's what some of the, you know, contributors
yes.
to disease are.
Well, just what you said was so important in terms of packing it away.
Yep.
Like that has meaning. It's like, where are we packing it? How is it affecting us? And how is it helping us, you know, stopping us from really being fully in ourself and having ourself? You know, very often when we're kids, it's the other person that's more important. You know, what do we give up in ourselves to make the other person happy? And that has, you know, that accumulates over time, because we learn, what is it that we're seen with? And, you know, just being yourself, then we realize, oh, maybe we're not enough. Maybe we have to do this and this and this in order to get something that we need.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. And it could be, pretty deep in there that you don't even think about it
You
for
don't
20
even,
years or more.
or more. Absolutely.
So when we were on break, you were talking about an experience that you had in New York. So tell us about that.
Well, I think it was so fascinating because, again, it's coming back to my connection with nature. I'm sure people have heard of Finnhorn and how it's a community in Scotland where they grew the biggest flowers and vegetables anybody had ever seen. And it was their connection to the elementals and to fairy that they communicated with that helped and showed them where to grow things.
Oh, wow. That's
So
fascinating.
I was always interested, but I have a mentor in New York who gave me a book called The Secret Lives of Elves and Fairies by a Reverend Robert Kirk from the 16th century. And it was a manuscript that had been found that it was his story about what happened to him. And it was left for his son. So I was like, oh my gosh, where did you get this book? And she said, Barnes and Noble. So I said, oh, I've got to go get another copy. So the next day, I went to 83rd and Broadway. It was huge Barnes and Noble, up the escalator, standing there going, oh, I wonder where they would have books like this. So I thought, well, it's probably over there. And I'm still standing there wondering. And a man came up to me, and he was wearing like a black hat and a heavy coat. I didn't really see his face. It happened so fast. And he came over to me and he said, I think this is the book you're looking for. And he handed me The Secret Lives of Elves and
No
Fairies.
way.
Absolutely. And I was, I looked at it, and when I looked up, he was gone. And I looked all over for him to, like, how did you know that I couldn't figure this out? And it had such impact on me. And I do believe now that it must have been Robert Kirk. I can't think of who else it could have been. But remember, he's from the 16th century. So it was every year I went home to Scotland, I thought I have to go to, there's still his kirk there and his church. And there's a hill behind it, a big hill, takes 2 hours to climb it. But what happened to him was he decided to go live with the fairy realm. He went in this huge, what they call a howe, Howe, and he left the story of what happened to him for his son. So, I mean, I eventually did get there and climb that hill. And but it had such a profound effect on me in terms of my intuition, the work that I do, in terms of expansion of what's possible, and also that to believe in possibility. And how did that happen? So we go back to the energy field and that connection and my childhood. I feel like, that tapestry is being woven, even if you don't see it right away. So
What's pretty amazing about that story is, I mean, people will say they have visions, they can, mediums and all different types of intuitives can see things. But it's not too often that I hear a story where you were actually given a physical object, right? Like it's one thing to say, oh, I saw this person or whatever, they were there. No one else saw them, or they're there, then they disappear, whatever that might be. But, and I've heard it before from, it's interesting. I go to a lot of workshops and retreats with Joe Dispenza, and he tells a very similar story about something physical appearing to him.
I mean, I've had both happen in my life where it was a physical experience where, and I had to choose between light or dark in my teenage years. And I didn't even understand how that happened. It was not a good experience. But this one was so healing for me in terms of, yes, there is a multi-dimensional experience that can happen. We are not just this, we're 99.9% empty space.
But we
So,
appear to be solid.
right. And that's, you know, that's we're going into the quantum field when we get into this conversation in terms of being, you can be in two places at one time. You know, what is time? How does it unfold? You know, there's so much to this in terms of also understanding who we are. And that's really part of the work that I love to do with people in terms of allowing them to open up to possibility and the field of energy that they are.
So there's also something you do called soul-centered hypnotherapy. Tell us a little bit about that.
Hypnotherapy, you know, there's again, you know, there's images of being in people on stage and doing that kind of hypnotherapy. This is a very, very structured, deep process that Dr. Tom Zinsser has done for 30 years, many, many years. And he's written books about his what he's put together over the years. And what happened to him was he was a straight clinical psychologist, and someone in his office, he was having trouble with a client, and he was, you know, discussing it with other psychologists, and she overheard him. And I think she said, "You know, I used to do something called automatic writing. Would you be interested in doing a session to see if we could see what we could do to help the client?" And he was interested, and they sat together. This channel comes through her called Gerod, Gerod, collective spirit, never embodied in the physical, but understands it's, you know, everything. And so that was the first session. And then he went back and said, "Do you think we could do another session on this client?" So this lasted over 15 years, where Jared could see what was going on with the client, even although the client wasn't there, and what was happening in the inner worlds for people. So that Dr. Zinsser was, again, under, he didn't understand a lot of this in the beginning. It was so far from his reality. So over time and working with Jared, he put together this whole understanding of what happens to a person on a very deep level in the subconscious, where even when we have some blocks and we think they're this, and we're working with them and nothing seems to be changing, then to do the hypnotherapy, you're bypassing the conscious mind. And in that world, he discovered with Jared teaching him an understanding that there's, you can have attachments that you don't even know are there in terms of an earthbound spirit, a created entity, what we would call shadow being or jinn, that in your energy field, somehow they got attached. And that can be affecting what's happening in your life. And you don't know it. Or they can be what you call ego states, which are young children that live in you still, that if you go in there, they're still living as if they were what was the whatever the experience was. So you're able to bring all of that forward to communicate with that, with them, and either offer what Dr. Zinsser works with is your higher self and the light, and that you're bringing more light into those areas inside of you that were perhaps not able to understand what the light is or even understand what spirit is, because of their own what they are. And I don't want to say it's evil because it's not. It's we have light and dark, and they can be from darkness, and it's all cleared on this deep subconscious level. And you communicate with it. And what can happen too is you can bring in from a past life, an ego state or something else that can come in with you. And you don't even know that that's happened. And again, we're talking about consciousness and awareness and how, as a soul, what are we? And, you know, when we look at past lives, some people say, but maybe that's not possible. But from my own experience doing this kind of hypnotherapy and studying it and seeing what happens with other clients, it's very real.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And
yeah. Well, this is fascinating. We're going to stay on the subject. We got to take a short break. You're listening to the Dr. Diane Show with me, Dr. Diane Hayden. When we come back, we'll explore more with Beverly Blass. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. We're back on the Dr. Diane Show with me, Dr. Diane Hayden. I'm talking today with Beverly Blass. You can learn more about her at www.beverlyblass.com. That's BEVERLEYBLASS.com. And you can find me at drdianehayden.com. So before our last break, we were talking about some fascinating stuff. It's interesting. This gentleman that you're talking about, this doctor, reminded me a little bit about Edgar, like what I've read about Edgar Cayce.
Yes.
And so, let's pick up where you were talking. I mean, we're basically talking about how different entities, let's just say, can get attached.
Yes. Right. And you don't even know it.
Right.
So, you know, something's not right perhaps, but you can't get a sense of where it's coming from.
Right.
Because it's in a very deep layer inside your consciousness. And you think, oh, these things can't happen, but there can actually be, they can place energy devices, objects, that can really affect and impact your life. And when I heard Dr. Zinsser speak at a lecture, he was the first person in my whole life experience that explained what was happening in my childhood. And that was what, here it is. This is how it comes together for me in terms of having trained with Dr. Zinsser, is I could land in my own truth and my own knowing. And I think for other people, it's so important that they get that connection, because many people have, I'm not unique in that way. People have things that they've experienced that they don't understand. Everything from, you can go from extraterrestrials to, you know, to fairy to who knows what, but it gives a field of understanding that, you know, we are so much more than who we believe we are. And it's a great way of allowing people to relax. It's really, hypnosis is mostly self-hypnosis, and it's that place between awake and asleep.
Yeah.
So you're very aware of what's happening, and yet you're able to sit back. It's like when you're driving the car and you go, oh, you know, where was I? How did I get here? It's that kind of place that you go to. And, you know, it's, you're always in control. There's nothing that can happen that would, you know.
I think it's another thing, like people, you know, people don't understand enough about it. They're a little bit nervous about it, like, you know, acupuncture maybe, or colon hydrotherapy, like we were talking before. But yeah, I mean, I've had many hypnotherapy sessions, and it's not, you know, you're not gonna all of a sudden take your clothes off and run down the street or whatever the crazy stuff is that they, you know, that they do in these shows, which make me nuts, because it's like, why are you doing that? All you're doing is instilling more fear and misinformation, but it is what it is. So, but I like your analogy about driving the car, because that's the way it was explained to me the first time. It was like, you know, you've had these experiences where you're just driving down the road and the radio could be on, or you could be thinking about something, and all of a sudden you realize that you did not see like the last half a mile or whatever, however far it was. You're like, Who's driving the car? It wasn't me,
Exactly. And
right? So,
that's a good question. That
right?
is a
Who's
good
driving the car?
question. Who's driving the car? Yes. So it's, I in terms of what I'm talking about, you can see that I am out the box in terms of, and I believe in not limiting, that field of possibility for people and really allowing them to explore, who they are and what's preventing them or blocking them from really living fully inside of themselves and empowering themselves to be who they truly are, which is just landing in that ground and center, their own heart and their own knowing. And I really want to help people, and I love to help people go in that direction.
So, do you find that someone comes to you specifically for one of the modalities, or is it more like someone comes to you with a complaint, let's say, whether it's a health issue or a spiritual issue or whatever, and you kind of weave these things together? Like, how does this all your work connect?
They can come in for one specific issue, and I always do a consult and spend time with a person to really try to understand what's happening with them. And usually by the end of that consult, they have made a choice about where they want to begin the work, because I want to meet them where they're at. So it could be physical, the physical body, the emotional body, or something much deeper. And usually it's a process to get in. And however that is to happen, to help the person feel safe and comfortable, that's what we do. And they can decide, with me, what path and what steps they want to take. And because it's not an overnight thing, it's really a process. And we map it together. We do it together. It's really a shared, because I want to empower. It's not me. It's not about me. It's about you. And I want to help you discover and, support you in what you feel you need. So it's really a relationship, and we're engaged in the process of healing together.
So, what is your understanding today about how you specifically help clients?
Well, we're an energy ball. We're a mind, body, spirit. And I think in order to feel power, to feel grounded, that needs to be in alignment. So if you only work on one thing, you've still got other things going on over here. So by my own guidance, divine guidance, I've put together this for me, how to help people on all those different levels. And I really feel like it's a privilege to be able to do that with someone. It's an honor to help guide them, into it's really truly finding themselves. And very often, whatever issues they came in with, they don't even remember what the issue was, because it's so much deeper. You know what I'm saying? Like they make all the connections. You have heart connections that mostly I feel like that's the disconnect. You want someone to really find that deeper place of wisdom inside their heart, their own knowing, their own understanding of who they are. And that's what I want to help you with.
Yeah, I love that you said that because I think so many people today just don't trust themselves. That's really what it is, right? It's that, like you're talking about, that connection. Most people are live so much up here and not down here, and they're not connected to what their body is, how their body tries to talk to them. They're not connected to their feelings. And they're just, they don't trust themselves.
And they feel like they've drained that energy, that life force that makes them, we'll call it chi or prana, whatever you want to call it, is sitting. It's sitting there vibrating, but it's not able to come into the fullness of aliveness because of that. because they don't feel like they know themselves and that somebody else should know. Not true. The person that knows yourself the best is you. And it's really that is the discovery, is coming home to yourself and who you truly are.
Yeah, that's really beautiful. I love that. Because again, I think a lot of people are looking for someone else to solve the issue for them or answer their questions for them. And I love about, that's really the essence of what you do, is you teach people how to do that for themselves and how to get connected to themselves.
Yes.
Yeah.
And well, the heart knows so much more than, what we're taught.
Of course.
And science is proving it.
Yes, this is true.
Yeah.
Well, this has been so awesome. Thank you so much. Again, people can learn more about you and reach out to you at your website, beverlyblast.com. And I want to thank you for spending time with us today. This has been fascinating and a great, great conversation.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. I want to thank all of you for tuning into the Dr. Diane Show. Please join me the first and third Thursdays at 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific. Next time, we'll be discussing more about the power of thoughts and beliefs and the impact they have on your life. Have a great week, and I'll see you back here next time. Thank you for tuning into the Dr. Diane Show, revolutionary expansion of mind, body, and soul with me, Dr. Diane Hayden. Tune in every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Center your thoughts on what you want and shut the door on every suggestion of fear, worry, or lack from your own consciousness or the consciousness around you. Once you master that, everything is possible. To learn more about me, Dr. Diane, and receive a free digital subscription of my magazine, visit naturalnutmeg.com.